It is Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. I thought you were giving me England Dan John Ford Coley. What happened in there?
Man, I don't know. It's Nelly Vanelli or whatever his name is.
Oh, here it comes. So this is like an acoustic live version.
This is Gino Vanelli?
No. This is like the live version of England Dan John Ford Coley. It doesn't matter. Because on a Yacht Rock, on a Live Imaging Tuesday, we play Yacht Rock. And sometimes that YouTube channel shuffles on us, but that's okay. Jorge is very busy because he is producing the glorious video packages, the open that you will see Saturday night at the Commerce Casino, the Mandy Awards, the second one at the Commerce Casino. Of course, Commerce Casino, where the game reigns. We are so excited. 4 days left. What's your name? Andy or Brian?
Andy.
You excited?
Yeah, I am excited.
I wonder if you and Brian will actually make it on stage. Last year, Brian made it on stage, but Andy never did.
Because of his doppelganger.
Yeah, I think the doppelganger is going to be there again.
I've heard the doppelganger is going to be there.
You always need a good doppelganger.
It was uncanny and frankly creepy how much that guy looked like
Greg. Ryan. Corporate Greg. What's that guy's name?
I can't think of it right now.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Kevin Feinstein.
What?
No, it's not.
No, he's saying Kevin Feinstein to me.
All right, what's going on in there? It doesn't matter.
Disgusting brothers.
Our own show over here.
There's always our own show going on back here.
Did you see, John, today the meme going around with Tom and Shiv from the last scene?
But saying the hand-holding thing?
But PGA and Liv. And I think Shiv is definitely the PGA today. Because she got bamboozled and then gutted. Just like the PGA players did.
And had put herself out there like the PGA did. Only to find themselves in the hand of Liv.
I'm a golf fan. I think this is good news.
Oh, it's great news
today.
It's great news.
I think it was stupid that you had two competing leagues. There's so much money at stake. I want to see all the best players in the same tournaments, and today that's what happened. And you know, I know the PGA players are going to be mad that those Liv guys kind of get the bag and get to come back. But the bottom line is, for fans, this is great.
Well, as player once said, "Baby, come back.
Baby, come back."
Mason in Ireland with Andy Kamenetsky continues right now.
All right, it's time for the 2 o'clock call of the day. We do this every day. Andy, pick a number between 1 and 6.
6.
That's Daniel in Huntington Beach. Daniel, you're on ESPN LA. Don't ask us how we're doing.
Hey, fellas. The Lakers situation, if we get Kyrie, isn't that our number one? And Davis can be the number two.
Daniel, it's an interesting thing. Thank you for the call. I'm going to say something here. I'm about 90% sure that Kyrie Irving's not coming.
I feel about 97%
sure. You're even more than me.
Well, okay. This report from Shams and then confirmed by Chris Haynes from Bleacher Report that Kyrie has been recruiting LeBron to essentially force a trade to the Mavericks, either that or work out a buyout with the Lakers, which is for a bunch of different reasons ain't going to happen.
Right.
My immediate reaction to that tweet from Shams, which was confirmed later by Jovan Buhov, The Athletic, his reporting.
Yeah, and these reporters that you're talking about are all rock solid, so it's coming from somewhere.
This was Kyrie signaling to the world, I would love to play with you, LeBron, but I'm not taking a pay cut to do it.
That's how
so
I interpreted
it, too.
I need
you to come to me.
And that's not happening.
Because the Lakers cannot, people need to understand this, not that they won't, they cannot do a trade with Kyrie where he gets max dollars, max years. They don't have the cap space. They can't manufacture it without, I guess, getting rid of Anthony Davis.
Right.
Like you're trading AD for Kyrie, which does you no good. That doesn't help. That doesn't make you any better. So it's impossible to do that for Kyrie. And he is signaling he's not going to take a pay cut to make going to the Lakers or anywhere else happen.
Yeah, so theoretically, to answer the caller, yeah, you could say Kyrie's the one, AD's the two, but he's not coming.
No.
I mean, I don't know anything. I'm not in Rob Pelinka's office, but I would be shocked. We all have to just wait and see what happens. I think that anybody telling you that Kyrie is on his way to the Lakers is probably lying to you. It could happen, but it's an extreme long shot.
I mean, look, there's a lot of wish casting going on with the stuff, whether you're talking about fans, whether you're talking about, quite frankly, from LeBron. LeBron has been doing a lot of open wish casting to have Kyrie Irving.
No.
He's been pretty open about this.
All right, let's do a 203 call of the day. This is Mike in Northridge. Hey, Mike, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, boys, what's going on? So you talked last week about trying to speed up the NBA like MLB did. So I'm a high school referee, and we do some things during the summer league only. It hasn't gone further than that. here are the five scenarios where we speed the game up. If you're fouled and you're in the bonus, you shoot one shot worth 2 points.
If
you're fouled shooting a two, go ahead.
No, I like it. Keep going.
If you're fouled shooting a two-point shot, you shoot one shot for 2 points. If you're shooting a two-pointer and you foul and you make it, you get 3 points and the ball's awarded to the defensive team. Shoot a three-pointer and you're fouled, you shoot one shot for 3 points. And if you're fouled and you make a three-pointer, the team's awarded 4 points. Ball goes out of bounds, the defensive team, and here we go.
I like
it up.
Yeah, Mike, I like anything that reduces the number of free throws that are shot. I don't think anybody wants to watch free throws. Just like you don't want to watch baseball players take walks or strike out all the time. What baseball did was they got base paths going again. And thank you, Mike, for the phone call. Andy, I'm in favor of anything that reduces free throws. Nobody goes to games to watch free throws.
Depends when the free throws are happening. Last 5 minutes of the game, free throws are tense. Free throws are great. If you're talking about first 5 minutes of the second quarter, you're right. It can drag.
All right, I'll meet you in the middle. No free throws till five. I'm Jeff Van Gundy now. No free throws till 5 minutes ago in the game.
No, you don't want to eliminate them altogether. What I think we really want is the refs to do a better job of calling them. Because you don't want to eliminate them altogether. Because at that point, you're fundamentally changing the game in ways that remove all strategy. Like there are teams like the Lakers, you know, this year's model, part of their strategy is actually getting to the line. Like that's part of the way their offense is designed. It's designed to try to get them to the line. That can be part of the game. What I think people really want is the refs to do a better job of calling games, to not fall for obvious flops, to be consistent, that sort of thing.
All right, we got some breaking news here.
Whoa.
Boy, this is disappointing if you're a baseball fan. Jacob DeGrom, who signed a 5-year, $185 million contract with the Rangers at the start of the season, needs Tommy John surgery and is out indefinitely.
Oh, man.
You know, Texas has won all 6 games started by DeGrom this season, but he's only pitched 30 innings. And he hasn't pitched since April 28th, and now he's done. And they invested all that money in him. And, boy, so going back, we were just talking about Ohtani. Can you imagine giving Ohtani $600 million and then something like this happens? That's the risk in pinning that much money on one player.
Yeah, I mean, the difference with Ohtani is you always feel like if it turns out he can't do both forever, pitching and hitting, you can always make him a hitter. And that can be easier on the
Angels did that 1 year.
Right. You can make it easier on the Tommy John elbow. And, you know, he's a hell of an offensive player. So, I mean, it maybe wouldn't be worth the, say, $600 million you're paying him to essentially be an everyday player as a pitcher.
Right.
But you could still get a lot of production out of him as an everyday player who just hits.
DeGrom,
as a DH.
DeGrom has the nastiest stuff in the league. Greg, this does not bode well for the next starting pitcher who hits free agency, because now you have to think, is there a pitcher out there right now in the league that you would give $200 million to?
Just a straight pitcher? I mean, God, I'd have to really think about it. Urias is probably going to get a decent amount. He's going to get close to that.
Yeah, but would you give it to him?
I mean, if he's wanted to stay a Dodger.
I'd probably give it to Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole, how old is Garrett Cole? I think he's just a
30?
Little
30.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd give it to Cole. He's one of those guys. I mean, there's guys out there, but Jacob DeGrom is different. He's 34 years old, and he signed a 5-year, $185 million or something like that contract. It's gigantic. And he hasn't even pitched in that many games. He gets hurt more than anybody in the league.
No, he's only pitched in 6 games, but he's only thrown 30 innings.
Yeah, but if you go actually look at his stats
so
over the last few years.
So he's only averaging 5 innings a start.
Yeah, I mean, like, to some degree, with the Rangers, they had to know they were taking a dice roll with this.
Right,
I mean,
it was a bad deal, but you know, it's actually kind of like what you would want to do with AD. It's the same kind of situation. A guy that gets injured a lot. You want to give him a big old contract. Was it worth it for the Rangers? I would say it's not. He's done for the rest of the year. He's done for most of next year at this point.
Yeah, isn't Tommy John's like a 12-month thing, right?
Yeah, for a pitcher, yes. For a position player, you can come back pretty faster.
Oh, man. That's
Would you give
bad.
It to him, Andy? Like, that was a bad, bad deal.
No. No. That type of money for a pitcher with an injury history who's already 34?
Yeah.
No. I mean,
he just wasn't going to get through it.
And they replaced him basically with Max Scherzer. And now that Mets look smart.
Yeah, he's 39. Max Scherzer's not. They put all their money into two guys, Verlander and Scherzer, that are 39 and 40 years old.
Well, I think because they thought they could win this year. You know, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Padres have spent over $1 billion in salaries and luxury taxes. And if the season ended today, Greg, none of them would even be a wild card.
No, they're all struggling to start. Trey Turner's a big reason why Phillies.
Well, and then nobody in San Diego's hitting.
No, and Machado's, is he still injured? He was for a little bit.
The San Diego thing to me is fascinating. Like, there has to be something going on in that clubhouse. Like, it just feels like you've got so many big established personalities there together. They're underperforming. Last year, guys were outwardly mad at Tatis with that suspension, which is on top of other issues that they've had.
Right.
You know, Machado's a pretty prickly guy. Like, there's got to be something going on with them because they are massively underperforming.
Right. And maybe the biggest offender of those three. Phillies are bad. Mets are bad. Padres are the worst.
Well, especially, too, coming off, like, what felt like them finally breaking through. They beat the Dodgers in the playoffs.
111-win team.
Yeah, and also, too, the Dodgers, the team that's always had their thumb on them. Like, it finally felt like, okay, maybe we are breaking through as an organization. And they've just regressed since.
Yeah, it just, man, baseball is having a weird, now Jacob deGrom out for the year. That's too bad for the Rangers. All right, coming up next, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Mandy Awards. Greg is going to open the phones here in about 30 seconds. And you're going to be able to call 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Now, let me help you out. If you're not a regular listener to the station, not just Mason and Ireland, but the station, you will fail in this game. This game is about all of us here at ESPN LA, and it ranges from the Travis and Sliwa show. It's got a question in there about Morales. It's got a question in there. There may be a question in there about Andy. There may be a question in there about Mason Ireland. There's going to be a question about Sedano and Cap. If you don't know the station, don't call because you won't win. If you do know the station, you want to go to the Mandy's, now is the time to call. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Quarter after 2 p.m. on a live imaging Tuesday. On Mason and Ireland, Andy sitting in for Mace. Mandy's week. You also know we play Yacht Rock on Tuesdays, like this one, when you're in love with a beautiful woman. Dr. Hook and medicine, what was it? Medicine woman, right?
Dr. Hook and the, I don't know, yeah, he had a band. I can't remember what they were.
What is it, Corey?
They had a lot of hits.
It just says Dr.
Hook.
And the medicine show.
And the medicine show, yeah.
The medicine show.
So, Chris, how many listeners will be at the Mandy's once we give all these tickets away?
1,000.
1,000 people at the Commerce Casino.
Yes.
Is that more than we had last year, around the same as we had last year?
When you have all staff, we'll have more listeners than last year. I think all in, we had 1,000 people. All in, when we're done, staff, everything will probably be about 1,200 people.
Very big night for the station. It's a huge night. It's Saturday night. Invite only. You have to have tickets, which brings us to our Mandy's ticket giveaway.
Yes, indeed.
Chris, since you're such an integral part of the Mandy's, pick a number between 1 and 10.
2.
Number 2 is Dave in L.A. Dave, are you there?
I'm here.
Dave, okay. What's your last name?
Hong.
Okay, Dave. You are the first person going to crack this. There are 5 questions. If you give me the correct answer to all 5 questions, you're going to the Mandy's on us. You with me?
All right, let's go.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dave, Michael Thompson has 3 sons. What are their names?
Michael, Trace, and Clay.
Boom. That's nice. One for one. Dave, what is the name of Chris Morales' father, who was a popular music DJ in L.A. for more than 2 decades?
What was it?
Chris, what station was your dad at?
Help Star Power 106K, Earth KRLA, The Beat.
You want to take a guess, Dave?
Yeah, I've heard you say it before. No, I missed this one. Okay. Miles Morales.
Oh, close. Close.
Miles Morales.
You gutless, Dave. You gutless.
He actually got the right initial.
Yeah, he was there.
He had it right there, which opens the door for Jerry and Hacienda Heights.
Oh, beautiful. Jerry.
Jerry, are you there?
Love Hacienda Heights.
I'm here.
All right, Jerry. Michael Thompson has 3 sons. What are their names?
Mike, Trace, and Clay.
Very good. What is the first name of Chris Morales' father, who was a popular music DJ in L.A. for more than 2 decades?
Mucho.
Yeah. Mucho Morales. Very good. Yeah. Looking good, Jerry.
Pops may be in the attendance. He may be in attendance on Saturday night. We're trying to talk him into it. Talking him and mom into it.
Okay. Jerry, before Travis Rogers was a talk show host, he produced one of the most successful sports radio shows ever. What show did Travis produce? Want to take a shot, Jerry? Big name. Think big. Big sports radio name. I'm sorry, Jerry.
You gutless, Jerry.
I'm sorry, Jerry. That opens the door for Javier and Oxnard.
Oh, Javier.
Javier, how are you? Javier going once. Javier, he didn't know.
You gutless, Javier.
Yeah, he didn't know. Jacob in Anaheim.
Oh, beautiful.
Jacob, you want to take a shot here?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Jacob, you on West Anaheim or East Anaheim?
West Anaheim.
Oh, beautiful.
West Anaheim. It's only part of Anaheim you want to be in. All right. Michael Thompson has 3 sons, Jacob. What are their names?
Michael, Trace, Clay.
Correct. What is the first name of Chris Morales' father, who is a popular music DJ in L.A. for more than 2 decades?
He is not gutless. Mucho.
Mucho Morales. All right. Before Travis Rogers was a talk show host, he produced one of the most successful sports radio shows ever. What show did Travis produce?
I think it is Jim Rome.
Boom! Yeah! Rack Boom, em! Jacob! Rack
em! Glad you grabbed a vine.
All right, Jacob. Only 2 more. Jacob, Lindsay Fulton, the producer of Sedano and Capo, was once the producer of Mason in Ireland, is from what Midwestern city?
Cleveland.
Yes! Yes, Jacob. Jacob, you get this, and you're on the way to the Mandy's, the most coveted ticket in Los Angeles today.
At least in June, right now.
Jacob.
No pressure.
What is the name of Steve Mason's podcast, the one he hosts with Sue Kalinske and the one that Chris Morales voices the open for? The name of Mason's podcast, Jacob, is what?
Oh, man. It is the Culture Pop.
Yeah! Boom! Boom! Jacob!
Bam!
Jacob, it's a final!
Let's go. Congratulations. What's your last name, Jacob?
Migliaccio.
We weren't even trying to spell it.
Jacob Nicliaccio from West Anaheim. You're going to be in the house Saturday night at Commerce Casino to press the flesh with us for Mandy's 2.
Jacob, that was excellent work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Who are you bringing, Jacob? Who are you bringing?
Yeah, do you know who you're going to bring, or are you now like have it like Chris Morales often does? Are you having an open audition to see who gets to go with you to the Mandy's?
Well, my wife is here next to me, so that would be a bad idea.
Happy
for me,
wife.
So I'm going to bring
happy
my wife.
Happy life,
what's
Jacob.
What's her name, Jacob?
What's your wife's name?
Jessica.
Jessica. Oh, Jessica, Jacob, we're looking forward to meeting you and Jessica. I'm going to put you on hold, and Bergman's going to give you the details, okay?
Thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. Saturday we appreciate night, Jacob. You listening. That's good work by Jacob in West Anaheim.
That's
right
there. Nice. I'm in East Anaheim, just for the well on the orange side next to the stadium.
I've seen you all over Anaheim.
Well, so I get around. You got to press the flesh. And by the way, I've got, I think, 3 different friends on Saturday night. They're sprinkled to different tables.
Oh, you're going to be like Hef with the triplets.
Exactly. Except the triplets were often seen together. Chris is trying to spread them out. He's trying to make
like,
sure
like
that
an
the
episode
left-
of Three's Company.
Exactly. He wants to make sure the left hand doesn't necessarily know what the right hand is up to, if you know what I mean.
I feel like Chris's hands always know what they're up to.
I would be like Larry. Was it Larry?
Larry, yes.
Yeah, I would be Larry.
Trying to manage 3 girls at the Beagle.
Yeah, the Regal Beagle.
Oh, gosh. How great was the Regal Beagle?
By the way, Three's Company, mythically, set in Marina Del Rey.
In Santa Monica.
Wasn't it? I thought it was in the Marina. Wasn't the Regal Beagle in the Marina? Was it Santa Monica? Come and knock on our door.
It's Santa Monica. I'm like 99%
well, wait,
sure.
I mean, it's something we can look up.
I was down with Mrs. Furley, too.
There was no Mrs.
No.
Furley. You mean Mrs. Roper.
Oh, I was down with Mrs. Roper.
Yes. Okay. And
you know, why not?
Yeah, Mr. Furley came later.
That was
right?
Late.
Norman Fell was Mr. Roper, and Don Knotts was Mr.
Yeah.
Furley, right?
And now there's a bar in L.A. that I think is doing really well called Mr. Furley's. I believe so. The Valley.
Is there still a Regal
a Santa
Beagle?
Monica apartment that they were sharing together. Under the guise of Jack being gay, and therefore he wouldn't be interested in the 2 girls, and it was approved of by the Ropers.
Right. That's good knowledge.
And there are always girls who look like Suzanne Summers just running around Santa Monica unattached. That was the hard to believe aspect of
so
that.
So you were a Suzanne Summers guy, not Janet.
Joyce DeWitt?
Yeah.
No, that was like her one claim to fame. She never did anything outside of, I think she may have made 1 Love Boat appearance. That would be about it.
Love Boat!
Love Boat!
I think Cappy's in person today.
Yeah. Well, he had to do he stayed last night at East Central for his Monday night rendezvous across the street, the East Central Hotel. Beautiful place. Then he was here doing his San Diego show, which I don't think should be allowed in the building.
Why?
We can stop it.
I support all side hustles.
But it's like this, small market thing.
He can do it from the hotel.
Yeah.
He should do it.
I'm an expert doing things from hotels. It all depends on the internet.
Good night, everyone.
Yes.
I'll be back.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And we don't expect to get any more Mandy's tickets, but you never know. Morales could walk in tomorrow. He's a man of the people. He could be roaming around the building looking for actors. We may have more to give away tomorrow. Who knows? All right, I have a question, Andy. Do you get jealous? Be honest. Do you get jealous when you find out that a coworker makes more money than you do?
It depends on whether or not I think the coworker is good at their job or a hack. If they are good at their job, I don't feel any resentment towards it. If they're a hack, yeah, I might.
Bergman, are you? Do you get jealous if you find out one of your coworkers makes more money than you?
No, because everybody makes more than I do. So it's totally fine. Nothing changes there.
So,
but no, I wouldn't care. Like Andy said, if you're good at your job, then you should be paid accordingly. So I don't care what it is.
A lot of people thought that Stephen A. Smith, let's face it, Stephen A. is kind of the face of ESPN, was going to lose it when it came out that Pat McAfee was making $18 million a year at ESPN, which is more than Stephen A. makes. But if you think Stephen A. has it out for Pat McAfee, you would be wrong. Listen to this.
I got word that Pat McAfee is coming to ESPN. The reason why people were clamoring for me to chime in about him is because you have so many people that are looking at what he's getting paid. It's no secret that even though you don't know the numbers that I make, even though I'm sure a lot of you think you know, it's clearly more than I'm making. 2 things. Number 1, I don't give a damn. He negotiated his deal a few weeks ago. I negotiated my deal a few years ago. The situation is not the same. I'm a big boy. I've been to hell and back. This does not faze me at all. Pat McAfee deserves it. You looking for some haterade here? Wrong place. I admire what he has done. I respect what he has done. So much so that I'm doing it. It's people like Pat McAfee I get to thank for that.
This is such a healthy way, Andy, to look at life. And I got straightened out by, of all people, here's a name I thought you guys bet I was never going to say today. Fred Rogan.
Oh.
Years ago, I had a conversation with Fred.
The Dean.
And he said, before he had his show, which he has now, he worked with us. Mm-hmm. And Fred said to me once, I was in the middle of a contract negotiation. I was asking him for advice. And he said, here's the thing. Play your own ball. It's like golf. Play your own ball. Decide what number in your own head you would be happy with. And don't compare it to anybody else. Don't compare it to me or to other people or to anybody. What number would make you happy that you could live with and that you would be excited to come to work about every day? Once you get that, you're all set. And that's code for what Stephen A. was saying.
Yeah.
Stephen A. isn't mad at Pat McAfee. When Stephen A. goes back to negotiate his next contract, the fact that Pat got this much actually helps Stephen A.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, A, it never hurts to have somebody reset the market when you know there will always be a market for you.
Right.
Like there will always be a market for Stephen A. because Stephen A. is really good at what he does and is very popular. B, it's also easy for Stephen A. to be happy for Pat McAfee when Stephen A. is already loaded.
Like, right.
I mean, it is much easier to avoid jealousy when you have already made more money than you will likely ever spend. So it does become easy. Like if Stephen A. had been doing this for 20 years and always felt underpaid, he might have a little bit of a different opinion on this.
Yeah, I never begrudge people for making money. Negotiate the best deal you can for yourself. And as long as you play your own ball, that's a really good tip. And when you're going through life, don't worry about other people and what they're making. Worry about you and what you're making. And I good for Pat McAfee. If he's able to get that out of ESPN, more power to him. All right, coming up next. Why are all these NFL players betting on NFL games? For the life of me, I don't understand it. We'll get into that. And Andy, the government's hiding UFOs from us again. It's a fact. I'll explain coming up next. Yeah. What's up, fool? About 15 minutes away. Mason in Ireland, Andy in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Little George Benson, Jorge.
Yes, sir. It's my favorite song, actually. One of my favorite songs.
Breezin' is your favorite song?
It's just
Little known fact about George Benson. My friends in the music business are telling me the truth, and most of the time they do. Couldn't read music. Just did everything from memory.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jimi Hendrix couldn't read music.
I heard that, too. Yeah, pretty amazing. All right, so, Andy, you and I have both covered NFL as part of our careers as sportscasters, and there's something weird going on in the league right now. And yesterday it affected the Indianapolis Colts. They have a kick returner named Isaiah Rogers. He's a cornerback who primarily returns kicks. And he is being investigated for violating the league's gambling policy. Now, the second you set foot into an NFL locker room, there are signs all over the place telling you you can't bet. You can't bet on football. You can't bet on your team. You can't bet when you're at the facility. You can't bet when you're in the stadium. You want to play poker on the side, go ahead and do it. But if you're betting on the NFL, you jeopardize your career and your future. Keep in mind, Andy, that four different Detroit Lions have already been suspended. And now it looks like this guy for the Colts is going to be next in line. Here's what he says, quote, "I take full responsibility for my actions. I know I've made mistakes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to repair the situation. The last thing I ever wanted to do was be a distraction to the Colts organization, my coaches, my teammates. I've let people down that I care about. I made an error in judgment. I'm going to work hard to make sure that those mistakes are rectified through this process. It's an honor to play in the NFL. I've never taken that lightly, and I'm very sorry for all of this. End quote. How about you just don't gamble? I mean, it's the very first thing you see when you go into an NFL locker room. Andy, I, as a Laker employee, every year have to take a gambling survey. And if I don't take it, complete the certificate, and send it to the head of HR, I'm fired. What are these players doing? It's not that hard.
They're thinking they can get away with it.
But if I tell you, if you touch that bottle of Dos Hombres, you're fired. I'm guessing you're not touching the bottle of Dos Hombres.
It depends, though. Are you telling me don't touch it in front of all these witnesses? Are you saying, hey, even if nobody is in the building and nobody can see it, don't touch the bottle anyway? And theoretically, if you touch that bottle, there could be a reward waiting for you.
All right.
There could be a reward for touching that Dos Hombres bottle.
What's right next to the Dos Hombres bottle?
It's a camera.
Right. And there's one next to Jorge, and there's one next to Greg, and there's one there, and there's one there.
I'll do you one better.
There is an electronic paper trail for everything we do in 2023.
That's the problem.
You're not getting away with it.
Look, I'm not justifying it. You're asking me why this happens. This is why they think I'm going to do it under a different name. I'm going to try to erase a paper trail. I can figure out how to do this in a way where I won't get caught.
Are you okay? He's a sixth round draft pick. He's entering the final year of a 4-year, $3.4 million contract. The sportsbook account was opened in the name of a friend of his, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And 100 bets were placed on the account over an undisclosed amount of time, including on Colts games. Most of the bets were $25 to $50, although there was at least one low four-figure bet. Rodgers started 9 games in 2022, was seen as a likely starter this year after Stephon Gilmore was traded to the Cowboys. I try and have sympathy for people that do stupid stuff. I'm losing all sympathy for any of these football players who are gambling. I just think they're too stupid to be in the league.
Now, do you know with the rules with the NFL, are you not allowed to bet on anything or just the NFL?
Just the NFL. And you and the big thing is, you can't bet in the building. All right, that's the big deal. Like, and just to let you know where this has been going. So in April, the NFL suspended 5 Detroit Lions, or actually 5 players, 4 from the Lions. And then last year, Calvin Ridley was suspended for the entire season.
And that was a big deal. He's a really, really big name receiver.
To answer your original question, although the NFL embraces sports betting and has sponsorship deals with sports books, the league explicitly prohibits players from betting on NFL games. Players are also prohibited from placing bets while at NFL facilities. It's not that hard.
No, I'm not saying it's that hard to follow. You're asking how this happens. You feel like as an NFL player, you have more insight than anybody else, even like the professional gamblers.
That's why you're not allowed to bet.
Of course not, but you're asking why it happens. I'm telling you why. You feel like I've got an inside track that nobody else has. I can also erase my paper trail. I can do it under a friend's name. This is how it happens.
I understand that. But Greg, I would cut this guy if I were the Colts because he's too stupid, not because he gambled. I just think it's a stupidity problem. It's a severe lack of common sense.
I don't understand. I'm with you. I don't understand why people do it. Andy's right. That was the reason why they are doing it, but it's ridiculous to be doing it still at this point. You just feel like, oh, I'm above the law. I can get away with it. I can do it in a way that nobody's ever going to find it. They always find you. Every time.
I'm so nervous about gambling that I won't even bet mythical money on the NBA.
I know you won't.
Because I don't want somebody to be able to go to my bosses at the Lakers and say, hey, I heard Ireland bet on the finals. even though it's not real money. No. I don't even want the appearance of it. No. And I'm a fifth level sportscaster dude. You're a wide receiver, you're a corner, you're making $3.4 million. You need a $25 bet that much?
Well, my guess is the $25 bet isn't what raises eyebrows, it's the four-figure bet.
Well, and the fact that there were 100 of them.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bets. There's a four-figure bet. It is interesting, though, when you said the idea that you would cut this guy. He's seen as a likely starter.
Right.
Talent, though, is often what keeps you around if you screw up. Like, if he's considered a likely starter on the rise, Colts may have more leeway for him as opposed to if he's a third-string guy, he's definitely getting cut.
Yeah, I just don't – as somebody who's been around professional sports enough to know that these guys get it beaten over the head, you cannot gamble. You can't gamble in NFL games. You can't gamble in the building. And then these guys go ahead and do it. And this is after five people got suspended. I mean,
there's
already. Just,
there's so much other
stuff. Calvin Ridley lost a whole year.
There's so much other stuff to bet on. Like, you can bet basketball. You can bet baseball. You can bet
You can do it at DraftKings.
There's so many other things to bet on.
And you don't have to do it when you're in the building.
Well, that's the worst. Because if you're in the building, you have no idea how much your phone or whatever is being monitored, if they're keeping track of IP addresses, things like that. Like,
let me tell you something. I got my computer open right now, and I'm hooked up to whatever the ESPN LA web thing
is. Yeah, same with me.
They could look at anything I'm looking at.
Absolutely.
The minute I set foot in this building, I assume that all of my electronic communication is being monitored.
Well, you know what, though? There's always a chance, too, that a lot of young players who don't know anything but the world of the internet, and because of that, a lot of it may not have ever really been explained to them because it's all they know. They just sort of assume Wi-Fi everywhere, connections everywhere. They may not even realize how easily you can monitor what's on your phone. And like,
all right, let me help everybody out that's listening right now. There is an electronic paper trail for everything you do. If you send an email, if you make a phone call, if you send a text, if you order something from Amazon.
Oh, we've surrendered our privacy.
Your privacy is being monitored left, right, and sideways. If you think you can gamble electronically and your boss isn't going to find out about it, you're stupid. And these guys are all going to get suspended and cost millions of dollars because they were stupid. It's not a gambling problem. It's a stupidity problem. Stop being stupid.
This isn't actually a good point from @HoopersX. This betting stuff does beg a question. Are the betting apps snitching on the players?
I think they are.
Because unless players are connecting to team Wi-Fi, which isn't out of the question, there's no way for the team to track it.
Yeah, it's a good question, HoopersX.
I imagine they
are.
And
I think that's exactly how they got caught.
If the league cares enough about this stuff to prohibit it, they're also going to want to be covering themselves because they don't want any appearance of impropriety.
So this particular guy who got caught, the Indiana Gaming Commission confirmed to ESPN it received information pertaining to this matter and was following developments. Yeah. In other words, they got tipped.
Well, I mean, the gambling sites and all that, too, they need to maintain their own integrity as well. So they're going – HoopersX is right. They're going to be on the lookout for you.
Right. And so don't fall for it. Nope. Just don't do it. All right, coming up next.
We didn't get to hear about the aliens.
Oh, okay. I promise I'll do that after. Do I have time to do it now? I can do it now.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear about the aliens.
Okay, good. Because as you know, I believe in all conspiracy theories. And the question here, Andy, is the government hiding UFOs from the rest of us? Because I'm convinced that they've been hiding UFOs from us for years. This comes from a writer named David Hookstead at OutKick. A whistleblower says the U.S. government has in its possession UFOs of a non-human origin. UFO stories continue to be an incredibly hot topic, and the latest report from the debrief, we're not messing around here, this has come from the debrief, claims whistleblower David Grush, a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, the NSA, has given information to Congress and the intelligence community that information has been hidden about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved, intact, and partially intact craft of a non-human origin. This is right out of Independence Day, man. They're coming for us. Gresh claims recoveries of non-human origin objects include intact vehicles, and they've had them for decades. We are not talking about identities. The material includes intact and partially intact vehicles. Publicly known Cold War for recovered and exploited physical material. They have tons of crashes, landings. They've retrieved the materials for exploitation, reverse engineered, and garnered asymmetric national defense advantages. In other words, we're being attacked by aliens right now and they're not telling
us.
Well,
okay. The reason why it is believable. Remember Men in Black? Yep. Remember when Tommy Lee Jones is recruiting Will Smith? And how this all has to be kept secret. And Will Smith says, what's the big deal? People are smart. They can handle it. And Tommy Lee Jones tells him, a person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals. And you know it. 1,500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that humans were alone on this planet. Imagine what you'll know tomorrow. We can't handle it.
Intelligence Officer Jonathan Gray, quote, the non-human intelligence phenomenon is real. It's real, Andy. There are non-humans among us. And there's evidence. When will they tell us the truth? I want the truth! Bergman, you believe in UFOs?
100% I believe in UFOs.
I do too.
I think they are real. I think they're here already. We just don't know it. I think Cappy is one of them. And I think
that would explain a lot.
That would explain a lot, right?
Retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon, and the global solution continues to elude us. Maybe they'll make an appearance at the Mandy's.
Ooh.
Aliens at the Mandy's.
Well, they need a ticket.
All right, coming up. What's up, fool? It's next, ESPN LA.
John told me something that really threw me off. It's a live imaging Tuesday.
I'm right,
too. On Mason in Ireland. Quarter before 3 p.m.
I wasn't expecting that either.
If you are watching on YouTube, ESPN LA on YouTube, I am holding this custom Dos Hombres bottle. Oh, yeah. This Dos Hombres bottle that has the 710 Mandy Awards 2 logo in it. These will be on all the tables Saturday night at Commerce Casino.
That is
awesome. I'm going to have a bottle of that at my table?
Yeah, and you could drink it.
May have to rearrange my post-Mandy's plan.
And, of course, Dos Hombres is helping. First of all, Bryan Cranston is the voice of our show open. Then
greatest voice.
Dos Hombres is helping us with the backstage. They're sponsoring all that. Dos Hombres Mezcal gives you just the right more for those everyday moments with great friends. Also, Dos Hombres helps bring us What's Up, Fool? Every single afternoon at 2:45 p.m. Hit it, Jorge.
What's Up, Fool? Is brought to you by Dos Hombres Mezcal. It's fate. It's friendship. It's mezcal. Dos Hombres.
Take it away, Corporate Greg.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Take it away, Corporate Greg.
Thanks, Morales and John. So Michael Porter Jr. is talking just a little bit. When asked about being guarded in mismatches, he said, obviously, if Gabe Vincent is guarding me, I feel like I can get the ball and go score. Was this overly confident or stupid to give bulletin board material?
I say stupid. You never want to. I think Eric Spoelstra is very good at this. He never gives bulletin board material to the other team.
Especially if they have an untrained eye.
Yes. He just rips Ramona instead. by the way, Greg, before I forget to tell you, get Ramona on for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because game three is tomorrow in Miami.
She can come on whenever she likes.
No, Andy, my belief is pretend I'm a player in the NBA Finals and ask me anything you want.
How do you feel about Gabe Vincent as a defender?
Well, obviously, Gabe Vincent has shown a lot of people that he can play in this league. You know, I know that they don't always love that it's brought up that they're undrafted players, but I always felt that guys like Gabe Vincent who are undrafted play with a chip on their shoulder and with something to prove. And I think that's a great story, him being in the NBA Finals. And he's a great competitor. Looking forward to competing against him.
Yeah, just completely benign, nothing to go off whatsoever.
Right. Greg, I think it's stupid to give anybody bulletin board material.
Well, I mean, look at what this whole Nuggets team does, though. Like, it starts with Michael Malone. He'll just say whatever comes to the top of his mind.
Right. But I,
you think Mike
matter of fact, after What's Up Fool, we're going to talk about some, we're going to talk about some stuff that happened on a podcast that people continue to poke at LeBron, and I think it's stupid. I wouldn't give any good player, and if you're in the NBA, you're a good player, any reason or motivation to beat my ass. I just don't get it.
Well, particularly, too, Gabe Vincent's actually a good defender. And, look, Michael Porter Jr. has a huge height advantage over Gabe Vincent. And it doesn't take a basketball genius to realize you're probably going to look to switch onto him a lot if you're Porter because you've got 5 or 6 inches on him. But you're right. You don't want to necessarily give a guy any extra motivation.
Right. It's just dumb. I mean, I understand that you want people to give you content and, you know, be bold and all that good stuff. I wouldn't give anybody bold material.
I don't think he said anything completely outrageous. Like, it sounded more like he was just saying, I'm 6 inches taller than Gabe Vincent. I can shoot over him. That's a difficult matchup for him. But you do never know how it's going to affect Gabe Vincent. Or maybe even just some degree of strategy.
What's up, fool?
According to Heritage Auction House, some guy paid $250,000 for Archie and Edith Bunker's chairs, table, and TV remote.
Congratulations, Michael Thompson.
From Michael Thompson's favorite show, All in the Family. If you had a chance to purchase any set item from any TV show ever made, what would it be?
Ooh.
Okay.
That is good.
Yeah, there are several ways you can go here. My favorite show of all time is The West Wing, and there are several things that are, but there's a very famous scene at the end of West Wing where President Bartlett, played by Martin Sheen, really wants Charlie Young, played by Dulé Hill, to leave being his assistant because he thinks he's overqualified and he wants him to go to law school and he wants him to branch out on his own. So he gives him this fool's errand on Thanksgiving to get him a perfect carving knife. And so Dulé Hill has to like search all over high and low to get a – and he does a deep dive on carving knives. And no matter what he brings Bartlett, Bartlett says, no, this is too heavy. It doesn't feel right in my hand. This one's not sharp enough. Sends him it 4 or 5 times, sends it back. And Charlie Lang's like, what the hell, man? I've done all the research. And finally he goes, Charlie, I never needed a knife. I just have this knife and I want to give it to you because my father gave it to me and his father gave it to him. And if you look at it, it was made by a silversmith named Paul Revere. And he hands it to Charlie Young and says, I'm proud of you. Now go be a lawyer. I would want the knife. I want Paul Revere's knife.
I'd be so mad that I got sent on all those errands looking for that knife. I would be like double middle fingers with you and your knife, you a-hole.
That episode, by the way, Bartlett discovers there's a Butterball hotline,
yeah. And
he can't believe that such a thing
Seriously,
exists.
I would be so mad that you manipulated me before trying to be the nice guy giving me a gift.
You'd stab him with the knife.
Yeah, I would. I would walk off.
What would you take from any show?
Ooh. You know, we were just talking about it earlier. It'd be kind of nice to own the Regal Beagle.
To own the bar.
From the Three's Regal Company. Beagle. Yeah, it's a nice bar, great location. It's not too big.
What could you take from The Sopranos? The Sopranos was such a great show. Or from Breaking Bad.
From Breaking Bad?
You could take the bell that he rings, you know, when he blows up Gus Fring.
Okay. That bell. Or you know what?
Los Pollos Hermanos got burned down, right? Or blown up.
Someone needs to get the pizza off the top of the White House.
Well, you know that Bryan Cranston, when he was on with us, said that became a thing in Albuquerque that they were driving to houses and throwing pizzas on the roof.
But someone's got to get that pizza off their roof at some point.
Greg, what would you take?
I was trying to think about it. Maybe something from The Office, like the world's best boss mug from
that's good.
From Michael Scott.
Or the stapler that they put inside the Jell-O.
Oh, yeah. Just the Jell-O with the stapler inside. Yeah, that would be pretty good. It could be anything. What would be good from The Wire? I love that show so much. So, but is there something that specifically from that?
From The Wire?
Yeah. Something from Omar? Well, the sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah. The sawed-off that he always used to use.
Yeah, yeah. What would be good? That's interesting. What would be good from The Wire?
The sawed-off would be pretty great.
I think that's pretty great.
The sawed-off in his trench coat.
Oh, yeah, the trench coat, too. Yeah, that's a really good one. Jorge, do you have anything?
Oh, yeah, man. The DeLorean itself, the car.
Oh, right, from Back to the Future. Yeah, that's a good one.
Or the hoverboard.
Yeah, the hoverboard. Give me the hoverboard. Yeah.
I've been waiting for that hoverboard to make a regular appearance in everyday life for 30 years.
Where, one day,
where's
John.
Where's my jetpack?
One day, John.
What's up, fool?
All right, we have time for one more?
Yeah. Cool. We have time for as many as you want.
All right, so Saturday, the Champions League takes place. That's Manchester City versus Inter Milan.
Right.
And then that's for the Champions League final. So I started talking with a friend of mine, and he noticed that soccer players get a medal and the trophy when they win a championship.
Okay.
Same thing, like, you know, with the FIFA World Cup and whatnot. And the difference between a soccer championship and the NBA and the NFL, why did they get a ring? You guys work in the league. Like, has that always been a thing? They get a ring for the championship?
I think that, and I'm just thinking out loud here, Andy, my assumption is a ring is just more practical. You could wear it every day if you want to. You wouldn't walk around every day with a medal. Well, maybe if I won a gold medal at the Olympics, I would probably wear it all the time.
Oh, I used to say all the time, if I ever won a medal or had even like an Oscar, I would wear that thing around my neck like Flava Flav's clock. Like, you would see that thing everywhere I ever went. Yes, I am Oscar winner Andy Kamenetsky.
Right.
Funny you should ask. Oh, by the way, this is a great suggestion. Speaking of Breaking Bad, from @TortugaBaracho, Walter White's EV. That RV. Big camper. RV. Excuse me.
Oh, I was like, what is an EV?
Electric vehicle?
Yeah, right. No, the RV. Yeah, but it's just, it's a beat up old RV. I mean,
it's a great conversation starter. It's a great part of that show if you love Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad's so good. Yeah, but that's a great question. You could have any prop from anything ever, from a TV show. Movies, it'd be a little easier. Like, the Maltese Falcon would be a good thing to have.
What would you take from Game of Thrones?
The chair.
The throne?
Yeah, the main one.
Yeah, I mean, could be good. The crossbow that Tyrion kills his dad with.
I would take the shame bell because it's the only thing I know.
I never watched it.
By the way, do you know who this is saying shame?
No.
It's the same actress who played Rebecca on Ted Lasso.
Never seen Ted Lasso.
You've never seen Ted Lasso?
Oh,
no,
man.
All right, let's go to break. This is ridiculous.
Oh. What's that, fool?
What are you? Oh my gosh.
Never seen Ted Lasso. I watched.
Do you have Apple TV?
No, I don't.
Oh, well then.
I tried getting through the pilot of Game of Thrones three times. Couldn't get
it. Just didn't take?
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we were talking about one of Greg's questions. I didn't know that he was going to do that, was about bulletin board material. They're at it again. These dopes are giving LeBron fuel for the fire. We'll explain next. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky in for May, CSPN LA.